بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله، we thank Almighty Allah who in His infinite mercy has made it possible for us to assemble here this morning, not for any purpose except to remind ourselves about the religion. And give the reminder, because the reminder and the Muslims. We are not going to be saying or discussing anything new. We are also going to be discussing the problem we are all facing together and looking at how we can find solutions to them. The issue of sexual violence is a very important matter that every Muslim needs to be concerned about. It is something that affects all of us, especially in the field of temptation, as it is mentioned in the topic. Temptation everywhere. Muslims everywhere are exposed to different kinds of temptation. And so these temptations are bound to shake you. They are bound to shake your faith in Islam. And you need to think about how to remain calm and faithful in the face of temptation. There are different kinds of temptation that we are exposed to. Alright? Temptation in terms of immorality and obscenity in our society today. Our government wants fornication and adultery. Fornication and adultery has become very rampant in our society today. Why? Because of the way our women dress up today, isn't it? If you step out of this house today and sit in front of this lady, you will see women dressed half naked. In our place of work, in our higher position, we are exposed to high levels of nudity and high levels of primacy of men and women. And I used to pity our sisters a lot, because our sisters who are supposed to obey the commandments of Allah and use the hijab are regularly mocked among people, isn't it? They feel the temptation to abandon the hijab and dress the way Allah has affected, and likewise our sisters. It's so rampant today that people even see it as normal. You find married women complaining of men outside making advances to them, even after knowing that they are married. That is how terrible our society has become today. I've seen women, married women complaining that they are blessed of God. Order made for you, made advance to them. Even after going there, they are married. Or you find men complaining of women trying to seduce them, even knowing that they are married. Alright? And if one is not careful, you fall into it. And once you do it once, that's all. It becomes normal. Temptation in the aspect of finance. Today, because of the level of poverty in our communities, in our society, one is tempted to engage in all kinds of prohibited transactions. A lot of people today will tell you, let the money not come. Whether halal or haram, let it come. Someone once said that before we were complaining that there is no halal. Today, even halal is difficult to get. So they want something. And that's why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that يأتي على هذا الزمان لا يبالي المرء ما أخذ منه أمن الحلال أم من الحرام. But a time will come upon the people where a man will not bother from where he gets his means of livelihood, whether halal or haram. All he wants is to get money. We are in that period now. Especially in our own part of the country where there is high level of poverty, high level of complaint of no salary, no business transactions, nothing, no progress in the society. And so people are tempted to seek for means of livelihood through enemies, whether halal or haram. People consume all kinds of usually, riba. They don't even know that they are consuming haram. A lot of business transactions that people carry out today, they carry out wrongly, all right, contradicting the teachings of Islam. And it has become the order of the day, such that if you come and tell people that this thing is wrong, that's not how it should be. A lot of them will tell you, but that's how everybody is doing it. Recently, I was discussing with somebody who is an agent. He's an agent who sells property, house, land, and whatever. And he was telling me, he said, what they do is, when you bring them a property you want to sell, they will ask you, how much do you want for this property? You say you want, let's say, 1 million. They're fine. Even if he ends up selling it 1.5 million. The additional 500,000 naira is for him. All he knows that he's going to bring you your 1 million. And you're still going to pay him percentage, either 5% or 10% from the money he brought to you. And I said, this is haram. He said, but it's normal. That's how everyone does it. There is no any agent that does not do like that. And I said, it does not matter. Even if the whole world is doing it, all right, what is haram is haram. It will not change it. Okay, in Islam, if somebody gives you anything to sell, it is halal for you to charge a percentage, all right, for your service. Okay, but whatever amount you sell that property belongs to the owner of the property. It's not your property. So even if somebody brings you a property and says, sell it for me 1 million, and you go ahead and sell it 2 million naira, that 2 million naira belongs to that man. All right? And I told him, I said, even if you, when you sell the property higher than the amount that was fixed, you are still going to benefit in the addition, because that will automatically result to the addition of your percentage, isn't it? If I say, sell this land for me 1 million, I will give you 10%. 10% is 100,000 of 1 million. If you sell it 2 million, that 10% will become 200,000 naira. So you still benefit from the addition. Okay? But to say that whatever you sell it is yours. No, this is not the teaching of Islam. This is haram.
But today it's normal. It's rampant. It's just, I'll just give you one example of what people do today, and they don't want to know whether it is halal or it is haram. It has become the order of the day. Alright? It has become the order of the day. Likewise, I was telling people recently that when you go to Abuja, you find people on the street. And other big cities, I don't know if we have them here, you meet them with new currency notes in their hands. Alright? And they are looking for those who want to change. Okay? If they are going to change, let's say, 200 naira note, a bundle of it is how much? It's 20,000 naira, right? So if they are going to change for you, you are going to pay them, let's say, 2,000. Alright? Just because they are giving you new money and they are taking old money from you. And I said this transaction is haram. Alright? It is riba. But it's normal. You find people on the street doing it. And you find anybody that wants to go to an occasion or anybody that needs new money will go there and pay 22,000 naira and pay 20,000 naira. It's haram. Even if the whole world is doing it, it doesn't make it halal. It's haram. That is riba. We call it riba al-fadl. Alright, because in the Sharia, when you are exchanging two things of the same category, then equality is a major condition in it. Okay? So you are exchanging naira note to another naira note, then it must be equal. Okay? It must be equal. So, in the financial aspect, you find that a lot of prohibited transactions are being carried out by people today to the extent that they have become the norm in society. And you as a Muslim, when you live in this kind of society, you are tempted to go into it too. But if you even want to do a clean business, you don't even find anybody to do a clean business with. Everybody is doing it. There's no difference between Muslims and non-Muslims alike. Also, temptation in the form of the spread of innovation. Today, a lot of innovated acts of worship have been introduced into the religion. That it has become normal. Okay? Some people don't even know the difference between the true acts of worship taught by the prophet and the innovated ones anymore. You have several innovated acts of worship in the religion, in prayers, in fasting, in hajj, in charity, in everything. A lot of innovations that it takes the mercy of Allah for you to be able to worship Allah according to the teaching of the Prophet. And when you say you will not practice these things, people see you as somebody different. Alright? People see you as somebody different. Also, you talk of the emergence of people who are committing acts of shirk under the ban of Islam. Alright, fortune tellers, soothsayers, claiming to be scholars, mala. Alright, and when you find yourself in problem of poverty, problem of lack of job, problem of lack of children, lack of marriage, and people will tell you that go to this mala, he will pray for you and your problem will be solved. And that mala you are going to meet is not a mala, alright, or it's a mala by name, it's actually a soothsayer. Or a fortune teller. Okay? A lot of people today are faced with all kinds of problems. Marital issues, you find women who are looking for husbands, or men who are looking for wives, alright? Married people who are looking for children, people who are looking for jobs. And everybody is trooping to this prayer warrior, alright? To find solutions. The situation has become so terrible that even young children are beginning to patronize this kind of fortune tellers. Young children, people that ordinarily would expect that they will not know anything about this kind of thing. Recently, just a few days ago, I saw a young girl. Okay? A young girl who is in JSS3. The JSS3 students in our secondary school today are writing junior work, right? I saw her with a pen. I wanted to write one. I said, give me your pen, let me write before you go to school. And I collected. When I collected, after writing, then I saw a paper inside the pen. And I looked at it. I saw some Arabic inscriptions, some supplications like that, some other things that I couldn't even read there. And I said, what is this? He said, no, one of our friends took out one manor, and that manor collected their Bible and prayed over the Bible and put this thing inside and said that it will help them to pass the exam. He is a film student. You can imagine, you know how I saw it just a few days ago. All right, yes, a spirit student. So, you can imagine. Let's assume she writes the exam and pass. What do you think will happen? Next time, any problem she has, she will go there. So tell me, when you have a society where leaders are patronizing fortune tellers, our leaders today, politicians, all of them have people of manners by the corner that support them in their prayers. Leaders are into fortune telling. Women, men, married men and women are into fortune telling. Children are into fortune telling. How will the Muslims progress? How? How will the Muslims progress? Allah says in the Quran, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْكُمْ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا. What did Allah say after that? يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. Allah has promised those who believe and those who do righteousness among you that Allah will establish them on the earth. Allah will give them dominance. You understand? وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا. Allah will change their fear to security. You understand? But what is the condition? يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. They will worship me and they will not associate partners with me. For as long as Muslims will not worship Allah alone and avoid associating partners with them, how will they gain dominance in society? How will their fear be changed for security? How will they progress in their life? It's so rampant today. Everybody is into fortune telling now. Whereas this thing is haram. The Prophet of Islam says that whoever is a fortune teller and believe man ata abrafan faqad dafahu bima yaqul faqad kafara bima uzil ala Muhammad. Whoever is a fortune teller or a soothsayer and believes in what he says, that person has disbelieved in what has been revealed to Prophet Muhammad. But because it's so common, everybody's going. If you don't go, people will even tell you that you are responsible for your own problem. Isn't it? If a married couple are looking for children and they do not go to this kind of people, and people are telling them, go. So-and-so person went and they got an issue. So-and-so person went and they got children. You to go. If you refuse to go, they'll say you are responsible for your own problem. Because they are giving you a solution and you refuse to collect. So you are tempted to go into it. You are tempted to go into it. Financially, look at what we do. I was telling somebody, look at, partly we are responsible for our politicians looting our treasury. Why? Because even if you are giving any position today and you don't steal money, by the time you finish your tenure, people will say that you are cursed in your life. And that's what I'm telling you. Look at you. You were a commissioner for 4 years. You don't even have a house. You will never make it in your life again. Yes. And let me give you an example. Look at social person. He was just a chairman. Look at what he has. Look at social person. He was just a counselor. Look at what he has. Look at what he did to his children. Look at what he did to his wife. Look at this. Look at that. You were a commissioner. You were a minister. You don't even have a house. You are cursed. You never make it again in your life. So some people, for fear of this kind of reproach from the community, they are forced to do it. Yes. Because they don't know how to go back to the people and say they don't have. So temptation. You find yourself in that kind of position, you need the mercy of Allah to be able to hold on to your faith. Alright? Because of that kind of temptation. So these are some of the issues that make steadfastness to become very important to every Muslim. Another reason why the issue of steadfastness is very important to every Muslim is that it is something that is connected to the heart. Alright, steadfastness has to do with making your heart firm on the leader. And you know, the heart is something that changes constantly. Alright, the heart changes constantly. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that innama summiya al-qalb min taqallubi. Alright, that the heart is called the heart in Arabic. We call it qalb. Alright, that word qalb is actually because of its constant change from taqallub, something that constantly changes. Alright, before I went further to give an example, he said innama matal al-qalb ka matal al-risha. مُعَلَّقَةٍ فِي أَصْلِ الشَّجَرَةِ تُقَلِّبُهَا أَرِّحْتِ ظَهْرًا لِبَعْضٍ. He said the similitude of the heart is like that of what? A feather under hanging under a tree. The wind turns it around, alright, constantly. So just the way you see the wind tossing around feather, that is how the heart constantly changes. And that's why you need something that will make it to be able to hold your heart, all right, and make it firm and make it steadfast on the religion, because it can easily change. Okay, it can easily change, and that's why the Prophet also said that inna bayna yaday sa'a fitanan ka annaha qita'u layl al-mu'min yusbihu rajul mu'min thumma yumsi kafiran wa yumsi mu'mina thumma yusbihu kafiran. So that before the time, before the day of judgment, there will be trials like a piece of that night. Okay? He said a man will wake up a believer, but before sunset he will become a Kafir. Another will arise sunset as a believer, but before sunrise he has become a Kafir. We are in that period of knowledge. You find somebody steadfast on the path of Sunnah. Before you know it, he's into one innovation or the other. Or you find somebody as a Muslim, before you know it, he has abandoned Islam and committed apostasy. You get it? And so everybody has to be afraid. You don't know how you are going to end, isn't it? Because what matters most is what? It's how you end, isn't it? It's how you end. Because even if you live your entire life worshiping Allah, alright, and 2-3 years before you die, you abandon the religion, you have lost everything that you did in the past. And so we have to be afraid for ourselves. We have to be afraid for ourselves. Look at the persecution that Muslims are going through today. We are being called names, extremists, terrorists, ninjas. Our sisters are called ninjas. You are called this, you are called that. You just said that some people are ashamed to present themselves as Muslims. Some people are ashamed to practice Islam the way it was, because they don't want to be called extremists again. They want to be called moderate Muslims. So we are the moderate Muslims. Alright? And that's why if you look at the situation that we are today, you will know that the Muslims today even need steadfastness more than the companions of the Prophet. Yes, because the companions of the Prophet were not exposed to this kind of, this level of temptation. Do you understand? They were not exposed to this level of temptation. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, يَأْتِ أَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ الصَّابِرُ فِيهِمْ عَلَى دِينِهِ كَالْقَابِضِ عَلَى الْجَمَرِ. That a time will come upon the people when the one who is patient over his religion will be like somebody who is holding on to a burning coal. You know how difficult it is to hold a burning coal in your hand. That is how it will be holding on to your religion. We are in that period now. So in the face of all this, the question is, how can we protect our iman? What can we do to remain steadfast in the path of Islam? Scholars have suggested a number of ways that will assist a Muslim to remain steadfast in the religion. Some of these ways include, one, holding fast to the Quran. Okay? Holding fast to the Quran. Allah says in the Quran, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بحبل الله. Alright, واسمه بحبل الله جميعا. You should all hold fast to the rope of Allah. Alright, majority of the Mufassirun interpret the rope of Allah here to be the Quran. Hold fast to the Quran. The Quran is the rope of Allah. If you hold fast to it, you will not fall. The Quran is also the light of Allah. Like the Quran, فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالنُّورِ الَّذِي أَنزَلْنَا. Alright, believe in Allah and His Messenger and the light that we have revealed, which is the Quran. So if you hold fast to the Quran will be your guide. Alright, the Quran will be your guide. Reciting the Quran constantly has a very significant spiritual impact on the heart. Alright, it strengthens the heart. It makes the heart firm. And that was why the Quran was revealed in stages gradually. You understand? The Quran was not revealed once to the Prophet. It was being revealed gradually over a period of how many years? 23 years. Alright? Allah says in the Quran, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ ذُلَّةً وَاحِدًا. The unbelievers said, why is that the Quran was not revealed to the Prophet, you know, at once? Allah responded, Allah says, كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ وَرَتَّلْنَاهُ تَرْتِيلًا. In such a Quran. Allah says, كَذَلِكَ, yes, we have revealed to you gradually. Why? لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. So that we will strengthen your heart. Alright? So each time the Prophet finds himself in, you know, worry. Each time he is calling his people to Islam and they are accusing him of madness. Okay? Each time they are persecuting his companion. Each time they are mocking him. Alright? The revelation of the Quran upon him helps to strengthen his mind. Not to abandon the cause of Islam. Alright? Helps to make him firm and steadfast. You understand? So, we need to make the Quran our regular companion. Unfortunately, today, a lot of people, they are reading the Quran is from one Ramadan to the other. Okay? One, in fact, I've seen somebody who told me, it was 3 days to Ramadan, and he was telling me that he has already asked his child to go and bring out his Quran from the cupboard and dump it and prepare it down. Alright? He has also bought a jalabiya. Alright, and he has bought a mat, just all in preparation for Ramadan. Do you understand? Alright, and after Ramadan, he will pass the Quran again, go put it in the wardrobe. That's all. Till next year Ramadan. Okay. This is wrong. Okay? This is wrong. Make the Quran your regular companion, because the Quran increases your faith. Alright, Allah in the Quran, إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجدت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا. Alright, the believers. The believers are those that whenever Allah is mentioned to them, it creates fear in their mind. And whenever the verses of Allah, the Quran, alright, whenever the verses of Allah are recited upon them, it says زادتهم إيمانا. These verses increase their faith. You understand? So we need to be reciting the Quran constantly. Alright, in the masjid and even at home. Some people, their houses are like graves. Okay? Their houses are like graves. Because it's only in the grave where you cannot carry out an act of worship. Isn't it? Okay? So they don't engage in offering in their houses. They don't recite the Quran in their houses. Nothing. Their Islam is only restricted to the mosque. They come to the mosque and they pray 5 minutes and that's all. So, what I'm trying to say is that the Quran, holding fast to the Quran, will help you to maintain your steadfastness in the religion. Okay? It strengthens the heart and makes it firm. Secondly, another means of gaining steadfastness in the face of temptation is what? Is studying the stories of the Prophet. Okay? Studying the stories of the Prophet and the pious predecessors, and following their examples. Okay? Whatever temptation that you think you are facing today, the Prophet have faced similar temptations. You understand? The Prophet or the pious predecessors, one of them have faced similar temptations. And so when you read their story and how they were steadfast, how you were able to remain firm in the face of this challenge, it assists you to also remain firm. Do you understand? If you are the child, for example, who is suffering from childlessness, all right, couple that have no children, look at the story of Zachariah. Zachariah also stayed for a very long period of time in his lifetime. He had no child. And he kept on supplicating. All right? He kept on supplicating before Allah SWT blessed him with Yahya. All right? Look at Prophet Ibrahim. He also had no child, isn't it? He had no child. He stayed for almost 100 years. He had no child. But when the angels came to his house to give him the glad tidings of the father he's going to give birth, what did the wife say? All right? She said, أألد وأنا عجوز وهذا بعلي شيخا. She said, am I going to give birth when I'm already old? Even the wife, his wife is already old. And said, and this is my wife, this is my husband, he's already old also. Look at this. She did not believe, but the angel told her that it is the mercy of Allah that they will give birth. So look at how they remain firm, they remain steadfast. And at the end of the day, Allah gave them victory. Allah SWT blessed them with what they wanted. If you are the type suffering from sickness, look at the story of who? Prophet Ayub. Prophet Ayub was, you know, was afflicted with serious sickness. Alright? But at the end of the day, Allah SWT healed him. If you are the type, you know, facing challenges from your spouse, okay? You are a man, your family, your wife and children are with you, are giving you challenges. Look at the story of who? Of Prophet Nuh and Prophet Nuh. Prophet Nuh preached Islam for how many years? 950 years. Alright? But only few people accepted Islam. And his wife did not accept Islam. In fact, whenever he is going about preaching, it was his wife that used to be telling people that my husband is a madman, don't listen to him. His son too, one of his sons, did not believe in Islam. Even when he constructed the ark, all right, I was telling people to enter, that only those who enter the ark will be saved. His son refused to enter. Even when the son was seeing water, rain was falling, water was coming from underground, he was telling his son, Ya bunay yarkam ma'ana, oh my son, join, enter with us. Before he refused to enter. He says, Fa'awi ila jabali. I will go and climb the mountain. I will be saved from the water. Nothing will save you until you enter the house. The world is good. And that was why he went there. And he was perished among those who were perished. Look at it. Look at Prophet Nuh, whose people were committing sodomy. Alright? Whose people were committing sodomy. It was his wife that used to go and tell people that Prophet Nuh has made visitors in the house to come and catch them and practice sodomy with them. If he refused to allow her to go out, if it was in the night, it was narrated that she was on fire. So when people begin to see smoke coming out from his house, they know that he has made visitors, they will come. She was against her husband. Yes, she was patient. She persevered. If you are a woman facing challenges from your husband, look at the story of Asiya, the wife of who? The wife of Fir'aun. Asiya believed in Prophet Musa, but Fir'aun did not believe. And Fir'aun persecuted her. He used to tie her in the sun. His own wife. Alright, she was like the first lady, living in riches. Alright, living in everything that life can offer. But she decided to abandon him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fir'aun used to tie her in the sun. And he will be tormenting her. Alright, Allah says in the Quran, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ إِذْ قَالَتْ رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Alright, she used to say, oh Allah, build for me a house with you in Jannah. وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Alright, it was said that once she made that supplication, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed her a house in Jannah. She was inside the storm, being tormented, and she made this obligation, and Allah literally showed her a house in Jannah, and she started laughing. When Fir'aun came out and saw her in that state, to say to the people, old people, are you not surprised at the madness of Asia? We are punishing her and she's laughing. Because he didn't know what she was saying. And that's why he continued to persecute her until Allah was connected to her life. So whatever persecution you think you are facing, whatever challenge you think you are facing today, the prophet in the past, the false predecessors in the past have faced similar challenges. And they were steadfast. So when we read this story, right, we learn from them. That is the essence of this story in the Quran. Allah said, وَكُلًّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. Well, that all that we have related to you, all that we have related to you concerning the stories of the Prophet is what? The purpose is to strengthen your heart. Okay. So, the Prophet of Allah, each time he faces challenges with his people, Allah gives him the stories of previous companions, previous prophets, and how they were also persecuted and how they persevered. So, going through this story will help you to remain steadfast in the path of Islam. Number three, another way, another means of steadfastness is through supplication, through dua, regular dua. Constantly supplicate to Allah to make your heart firm in the religion. Alright, like I said, the heart changes regularly. Okay, it changes regularly. It is like a feather at the mercy of the wind that is being turned around. Okay, and that's what Allah taught us, supplication. Even in the Quran, Allah taught us about the supplication of the believer. What did Allah say? Allah said, the believers are those who say what? رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. Isn't it? رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا. O Allah, O our Lord, do not make our hearts to deviate from the truth. بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. After you have guided us. وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. And bestow mercy upon us from you. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. You are the one who bestows. You understand? So this is the supplication of the believer. Recite this supplication constantly. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. Even the Prophet of Islam taught on another supplication. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. The Prophet of Islam, who is the Prophet, who receives revelation from Allah, who Allah has forgiven him his past and future sins, yet he makes this kind of supplication. There was more of me and you. You understand? Memorize this supplication and recite it constantly. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. O Allah, you are the one who turns the heart. Make my heart firm on your religion. That's the meaning of the supplication. So constant dua and supplication is also another means of gaining steadfastness in the religion. Number four, another means of steadfastness in the religion is through azkar, regular azkar. You see, zikrullah is a very powerful means of keeping the heart firm in the religion. Alright, it has a very serious impact on the heart. And that's why the scholar was saying that why do we think whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging the companions to go for jihad, as he's telling them to remain firm in the face of the enemy, you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling them to engage in zikrullah. You know, when you are in jihad, when you come before the enemy, it is a situation that you need a very strong heart to be able to withstand. Isn't it? When you see, look at the Battle of Badr, for example. The companions went to that battle, how many of them? They were 314 or 313. While the enemies were how many? They were 1,000. The enemies had greater weapons. They came with a lot of horses, a lot of camels, a lot of weapons. The companions had very, very little horses, very little camels. Alright? In fact, they did not even go out for fight in the first place. You know, if you look at the history of the Battle of Badr, they actually went out to intercept the caravan of Abu Sufyan. Alright? But Abu Sufyan escaped with the caravan and went and reinforced and came back and met them before the companions returned back to Medina. And also the battle did not take place in Medina. It took place in a place outside Medina called Al-Badr. So you can imagine the situation they found themselves. But what Allah told them in Surah Al-Anfal? Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا لَقِيتُمْ فِئَةً فَاثْبُتُوا وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah says, oh, you believe, when you meet the forces of the enemy, فَاثْبُتُوا, remain firm. Don't be afraid. Alright, but what? وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. right? Engage in zikrullah a lot. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that you will be successful. So zikrullah has a very strong impact on the mind. It makes your mind calm. You understand? It makes your mind calm. And it's a very simple act of worship that does not require anything from you. Get it? You don't need to be in the mosque to engage in zikr. You don't need to be in ablution to engage in zikr. You don't need to be facing the qibla to engage in zikr. You understand? It's something that you can do at any time. That's why when the companion came to seek for advice on the point, what was it? La yazalu lisanuka rasban min zikrillah. That your tongue should continue to remain wet with zikrullah. Always. So you're sitting in your office and doing zikrullah. As you're sitting down here listening to this lecture, you're doing astaghfirullah or alhamdulillah or subhanallah. You understand? As you're walking on the street, engage in zikrullah. As you are in your shop, engage in zikrullah. As you are sitting in your house, engage in zikrullah. You get it? That is the best way you can take advantage of your time. Okay? That's the best way you can take advantage of your time. So you can make useful, you can take, you can make use of your time through zikrullah, and it helps to make your heart firm in the religion. Another means, number five, another means of maintaining steadfastness in religious work is being in the company of righteous people. Okay? Being in the company of righteous people. A lot of people are deviated from the path of Islam through bad influence. Isn't it? Through bad influence. So, if you do not maintain companionship with the righteous people, if you associate with the wrong set of people, then they will lead you astray. You understand? So for you to remain firm in the path of Islam, you need good companions. Companions, friends. Be in the companion of knowledgeable people. Be in the companion of people who are steadfast in the religion. You understand? Participate in any act of any Islamic association. Get it? So that you will strengthen one another. You understand? You will strengthen one another. You see, being in the company of righteous people helps a lot. Why? Because, number one, even when you are slacking behind, they will pull you up, they will encourage you. Do you understand? When you feel lazy to participate in some act of worship, when you are with them, you will be encouraged to go ahead and do with them. When you feel like abandoning some basic Islamic principles, they will encourage you. Look at the story of Imam Ahmad. You know Imam Ahmad? Ahmad ibn Hanbal, one of the imams of the first school of thought. During his time, he was exposed to a lot of persecution from the king. Alright? Why? Because the king at that time was with some deviant sect among the Muslims who believed that the Quran is a creation among the creation of Allah. They do not believe that the Quran is the word of Allah. While the true position is that the Quran is the statement of Allah. It's an attribute among the attributes of Allah. So the king, those deviant sects used the king to persecute the people of Ahl Sunnah. Alright? They were arresting people, you know, imprisoning them, and they were tormenting them. When they heard about Imam Ahmad, the king said that he should be arrested. They arrested him. And when they were taking him to the palace of the king, his companions, his students, and other contemporaries, all right, they all went to Imam Ahmad and they told him, "Oh Imam Ahmad, you are the leader of the believers in this particular time. Virtually all those who are on the mazhab of Ahlul Sunnah al Jama'ah are looking forward to you. If you go to the king, remain firm on your iman. No matter what the king is going to do to you, know that nobody dies twice. Death is just one. Do you understand? So don't be afraid of death. Remain firm. Because if you abandon the sunnah, if you go there today, and because of fear of the king, you say yes, the Quran is a creation among the creation of Allah, majority of people in the society will follow you. And you will have ended up leading the people astray. So remain firm. Imam Ahmad said that when I went to the front of the king, despite the persecution, despite the threat, I kept on remembering the advice of my companions. So it helped me to remain firm in the face of this kind of temptation and persecution. So that's how good companionship is. All right, it helps you to remain firm. You assist one another. You get it. You defend each other from, you know, temptation and all kinds of challenges. But when you are in the company of people who are evil, all right, easily they will draw you along. And that's why Allah says in the Quran, وَيَوْمَ يَعَظُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَا يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي وَيَوْمَ يَعَظُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا يَا وَيْلَتَى لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي. Alright, Allah says that وَيَوْمَ يَعَظُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. The day when the unjust one, the الظَّالِم, one who refused to follow Allah, will bite on his finger in regret. يَعَظُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. He will say that how I wish that I have followed the path of the messenger. يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا يَا وَيْلَتَى لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. How I wish that I have not taken Sulu Takin as my friend. Alright? His friend, who was the one who misled me, he will be regretting on the day of the messenger. How I wish I have not taken Sulu Takin as my friend. لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي. Indeed, he has led me astray from the reminder when after it has come to me. So you will be regretting it. Alright, if you don't want to regret on the day of judgment, then do not be in the company of the evil one. Be in the company of the righteous one. That is the only way that will help you to remain firm in the religion. Another means is through doubt. Alright, engage in doubt. Okay, this is closely related to the point I just mentioned. Because, you see, when you are on a particular path, one way that you can remain firm on that path is to invite others to join you on that path. Isn't it? Because the forces of evil and the forces of good are always in, you know, in a concept. Evil is trying to draw the people of good. While the people of good should also try to draw the people of evil. Do you understand? So if you engage in da'wah, alright, you invite people to the path of Islam. That will help you to also maintain that path. Okay, but if you do not engage in da'wah, then you will remain where you are and gradually you begin to go behind. You begin to slide behind. But when you are on a path, on the right path of Allah, then invite others to it. Okay, when you invite others to it assists you to also remain firm on that path. Another means that can help you to remain steadfast in the path of Islam is what? Is to constantly think about death. Alright? Think about the inevitable end. Everybody will die. Okay? Everybody will die. And that's why Prophet should say that the wise one among you are those who constantly remember death. Think about death. Think about the punishment of the grave. Think about paradise. Think about hellfire. Think about hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in several verses of the Quran, you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing the hellfire? Alright? Describing the hellfire. Why? So that you think about it and try as much as possible to escape from it. You get me? And that's why you read in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that each time people are being thrown into hellfire, what happens? The angels that are guiding the hellfire will be asking them, how did you find yourself in this place? You understand? Allah says, it's what to look. وَلِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمْ وَبِسَ الْمَصِيرُ إِذَا أُلْقُوا فِيهَا سَمِعُوا لَهَا شَهِيقًا وَهِيَ تَفُورُ تَكَادُ تَمَيَّزُ مِنَ الْغَيْظِ كُلَّمَا أُلْقِيَ فِيهَا فَوْجٌ سألهم خزنتها ألم يأتكم نذير. These verses are very, very serious verses. Allah says that وَلِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِ. For those who disbelieve in their Lord, عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمُ, for them will be the punishment of Jahannam. وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. How evil is this end? How evil is this place to be a place of abode? Allah says إِذَا أُلْقُوا فِيهَا, when they are thrown into this hellfire. What will happen? سمعوا لها شهيكا. They will hear a very large sound from the hellfire. The hellfire will be making some sound as it is burning, as it is raging. سمعوا لها شهيكا. Allah says, وهي تفور. And at the same time, it will be boiling. The hellfire, it will be boiling in hotness. Allah says, وهي تفور. تَكَادُ تَمَيَّزُ مِنَ الْغَيْبِ. It is almost about to split asunder. It's about to break into parts because of the burning. It says, مِنَ الْغَيْبِ, because of anger. The hellfire will be angry with the disbelievers. It will show them, it will show them any mercy. تَكَادُ تَمَيَّزُ مِنَ الْغَيْبِ. It is about to break apart because of anger. فَكُلَّمَا أُلْكِيَ فِيهَا فَوْضٌ. Whenever a group of people are being thrown into it, سَأَلَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا. Alright, the guard, the angel that are guarding will ask them, أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ. Didn't the warner come to you? How did you find yourself in this place? Instructs Surah Zumar, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَىٰ جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ رُسُلٌ مِنْكُمْ يَتْلُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِ رَبِّكُمْ وَيُنذِرُونَكُمْ لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا. قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ رُسُلٌ مِنْكُمْ. Didn't the messenger come to you, among you, يَتْلُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِ رَبِّكُمْ, reciting to you the verses of your Lord, وَيُنذِرُونَكُمْ لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا, and warning you about this meeting today. قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. They themselves will answer, they say yes. It's not more. What did he say? He said, أَلَمْ يَكُنْ نَذِيرٌ. قَالُوا بَلَىٰ, قَدْ جَاءَنَا نَذِيرٌ فَكَذَّبْنَا وَقُلْنَا مَا نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ كَبِيرٍ. وَقُلْنَا وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. الله says, فَاعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسُحْقًا لِأَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. سبحان الله. Read the Quran, wallahi, read the Quran constantly. Ponder over this. That's what Allah says. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Don't they ponder over this Quran? Because I don't know how you feel when you read this verse. Even if you don't know this, get translated Quran, read. Attend tafsir of scholars. Read how scholars are explaining. SubhanAllah. Alright? But a lot of people don't read the Quran. Or when they read, they don't ponder over what they read. So think about death. Think about Jahannam. Think about the punishment of the grave. I've said it several times in virtually all my lectures. I used to tell people, think about the number of years that you're going to spend inside the grave. Okay? Think about the number of years you're going to spend inside the grave. Do you think that your act of worship, the little act of worship that you are doing today, will suffice, will be enough for you in the grave? How long will you live inside the grave? How long will you live on the surface of the earth? 60 years, 70, 80, 90, 100, and you will die. Okay? After that, how long will you live inside the grave before the day of judgment? I used to give an example of the prophet. The prophet lived on the surface of the heart for how many years? 53 years. Alright? He lived on the surface of the heart for the period of 53 years. So far, how long has he lived inside the grave? Huh? You know, he died in the 11th year after Hijrah, isn't it? Today, what is the year today? 1,440. So, minus 11 years from that, it will give you 1,429. After spending just 63 years on the surface of the earth, so far, he has spent 1,429 years inside the ground. And still counting. That's not come to the end. So, you all have parents who have died in the past, isn't it? How long have they been inside the grave? You understand? How long? How long will you be inside the grave before the day of judgment? 200 years, 300 years, 500 years, 1,000 years, 2,000 years? Nobody knows when will be the day of judgment, isn't it? Alright, so how long will you be inside that grave? Have you been to the burial ground? You've seen how people are buried. You see how the hole is dark. How tiny it is. You are going to be lying on your right shoulder. You are not even allowed to lie down. Even in your house today, when you sleep on the bed, You turn constantly, isn't it? You get tired as you sleep. How many hours do you sleep? 5 hours, 6 hours? But you cannot sleep on one position. Before the morning, you turn to this position, you turn to this position, you turn to this position. But here, we're talking of you remaining in one position. Very tiny, very narrow. All right? Then they will cover you up with the ground. Think about the heat. In this Lokoja, we're all complaining. Lokoja is too hot. There's no rain. Lokoja is too hot. Think about the heat inside that ground. Think about the darkness. Think about the darkness. All right? Think about how the earth will constrict your body. Do you think your act of worship for 60 years or 70 years will survive? If you gather food for 50 years, do you think it will survive you for the next 500 years? Because you gather for 50 years, will it be enough? You need the mercy of Allah. All right, in that situation. You need the mercy of Allah in that situation. So when you think about this constantly, all right, it will help you to control yourself, not to be carried away by temporary pleasures of the world. The world is temporary. The pleasures of this world are temporary. All right? They are temporary. So when we think about this, and that's why Allah also at the same time, He has given us stories, He has given us information about the paradise, about the all the favor and bounty, all right, and pleasure in paradise, so that what? So I will strive for it. Okay? Strive for it. The Prophet Allah used to say that alright, even the place where one of you will drop his cave. Alright? Before I gave this example, because of the Arabs, you know, most of them are harder, they go about with cave. But even the place where you are going to drop your cave in paradise is better than this world and everything in it. You understand? It's better than this world and everything in it. Just the place where you drop your cave. Not the top of your house where you live in. Or your bed, or your chair, in it, or the kind of food you eat, and the kind of pleasure that you have. Do you understand? Allah went as far as describing the women of paradise. All right, so that what? So that you will not be carried away with fornication. How would you agree to lose Hurul Ain because of prostitutes there? Do you understand? They are not comparable. So when we think constantly about the it helps us to remain firm on the path of Islam. And then also, another thing that will help you to remain firm on the path of Islam is having confidence in the path that you are following. Don't be in doubt, all right? Always know that at the end of the day, victory is for Islam and the Muslims. Don't be in doubt about that. Have confidence in Islam. That's what Allah said about إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ أَمَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. Alright? The true believers are those who believe in Allah and His Messenger and they are not in doubt. So you must have confidence. You understand? Have confidence that Islam will triumph at the end of the day. Islam will triumph. So don't be carried away by the seeming victory that you think that those who are not on the path of Islam are recorded today. Alright, it is temporary. At the end of the day, Islam will triumph. Victory will be for the Muslims. So be confident of the path you are following. These are some of the means which we can follow to remain steadfast in the path of Islam. Finally, we must continue to remember that steadfastness is highly rewarding. Right? Allah says in the Quran, إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون. Allah says, إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله those who say, verily those who say that our Lord is Allah, ثم استقاموا, then they remain steadfast on that. Allah says, تتنزل عليهم الملائكة, the angels will descend upon them. ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا, the angels will say to them, do not fear and do not grieve. Alright? Do not fear, do not grieve. وَأَبِشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ and receive life that is of Jannah. Do you understand? So remain steadfast on the path of Islam. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant your heart tranquility. Allah will grant you security. Allah will remove your fear and grant you victory in whatever you are engaging. We pray that whatever was said, may Allah make it very clear to us. Whatever was said wrongly, may Allah forgive us. Subhanaka wa bihamdik. Inshallah, ila ila anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I don't think that we should have only done.